And in New York tomorrow, Christie's is auctioning off three Fifth Avenue apartments and their contents that all once belonged to a reclusive heiress. Huguette Clark caused a sensation in the media when it was revealed that she had spent the last 20 years of her life in a New York hospital, even though she wasn't sick. NPR's Margot Adler reports that much of what we've come to know about this mysterious woman is not what it seemed.
Walking around a preview of Huguette Clark's belongings at Christie's, there's a violin by Stradivari that was even played for the media. An armchair from the 18th century is so perfectly preserved that the needlepoint colors are still brilliant. I am surrounded by extraordinary items collected over years, all in perfect condition. Andrew McVinish is head of private and iconic collections at Christie's.
The decorative arts that you see around the room here have come from the Fifth Avenue apartment where Huguette lived a fair part of her life.
There are rare books, antiques, and paintings. Christie's recently sold a Monet water lilies from the estate for $24 million. At one point, McVinish takes a gold-colored handbag out of a case. The paper stuffing is still in it.
Once again, it's never been used. Not been used.
And that's symbolic of everything. Clark had a Connecticut mansion that was never occupied. The three Fifth Avenue apartments were kept up, unoccupied for more than 20 years. Clark gave her nurse $30 million in gifts over time and put her lawyer and accountant in the will. This raised so many red flags that the Manhattan District Attorney's Office began to investigate. The assumption was that Clark, who lived to be 104, was yet another example of an elderly, wealthy woman preyed on by lawyers, accountants, and caretakers. But the investigation closed with no charges. Bill Dedman first reported this story and co-wrote the book Empty Mansions. He told me everyone reasonably assumed something was amiss, but no.
This was an eccentric, capable, lucid, artistic, generous woman who had enjoyed the trappings of wealth. She's interested in music and painting and Japanese history and building little castles and her doll collection and being generous to the people she knows and even to strangers. That was the life that she wanted and that she lived. Who would have thought it?
Empty Mansions was co-written by Paul Clark Newell, a cousin of Huguette Clark, who spoke to her over the phone for 9 years while she was in the hospital. He, like everyone, assumed she was living on Fifth Avenue. She always made the calls out so no one would know. Newell taped the calls. Here's one from 1999, when Clark was almost 93.
I'm getting my Hina dolls together. I'm making a collection of Hina dolls. I don't know if you know what that is.
No, I don't know what they are. How is that spelled?
H-I-N-A.
H-I-N-A?
The festival.
And where are they?
Festival. It takes place in Japan, and they have all these dolls.
I see. Is that a big part of your collection, Japanese dolls?
Yes, but they're hard to get. You know, they'll go way down to the Meiji period.
Dedman says if you were in your mid-80s, alone in 42 rooms filled with paintings worth millions, you might feel unsafe.
She had much more society in the hospital than she had at home, and she had people visiting. She had people to take care of her.
The hospital lobbied Clark for money for a building. In the end, she only gave them $1 million. What she did want was to create an art institute in her mansion in Santa Barbara, and that will happen. Merrill Gordon, who wrote about Mrs. Astor, has just written a book about Clark, The Phantom of Fifth Avenue. She interviewed Marie Pompey, a nurse who became a friend of Clark's when she no longer worked for her. She saw Clark about a month before she died.
And they were singing in the hospital. They were telling jokes. She really was all there until she wanted to, you know, come and die. She knew what she wanted. She knew what she didn't want. But she also had a sense of humor.
How different a portrait than most people assumed. Margot Adler, NPR News, New York.